From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the impact of Hurricane Florence appears to be on track to be another record setter. We'll check with Luther Harrison, Vice President of Samaritan's Purse's North American Ministries, a little later on the relief effort already underway and how you could be a part of that. And this is the week. Values Voter Summit kicks off this Friday in Washington, D.C. A tremendous lineup of speakers. It's going to be a great weekend. Vice President Mike Pence will be there. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. First time we've ever had either a sitting vice president or Secretary of State. Dr. Ben Carson will be there. Freedom Caucus Chairman Mark Meadows will be there. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will be there. That's just to name a few. Go to TonyPerkins.com. You can see the entire lineup. NRA President Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North will be there. And, in fact, he'll be joining us in just a moment here. Religious liberty will be a major focus at this year's Values Voter Summit. And to help us on the domestic front, the Benham brothers will be joining us. Jason Benham will be here a little later. And we'll be honoring retired Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia for his visionary leadership on behalf of international religious liberty. Congressman Wolf joins us today a little later with an update on the growing threat to religious liberty and economic stability in Nigeria, and the call for a special envoy for religious freedom. And still more, at this year's Values Voter Summit, we will be screening the upcoming film about abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell. Now, he's now serving a life sentence for murder. Gosnell, the trial of America's biggest serial killer, opens nationwide October the 12th. It stars Dean Cain as the detective who put Gosnell behind bars. Now, Dean is one of the featured speakers at this year's Values Voter Summit. And a little bit later in the program, the film's executive producer, John Sullivan, a good friend of ours, will be here a little bit later to tell us more about that movie. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find all the links to the Values Voter Summit and everything else you need. And don't forget to download the Stand Firm app. That is the latest tool for your activist toolkit. You can go to the App Store, Stand Firm app, or just go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. All right, we are really excited to have, and I might make General Boykin introduce our next guest at the Values Voter Summit, not only because they know each other, but I always like to see the general have to say good things about a Marine. Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North, retired from the United States Marine Corps, former Deputy Director of the National Security Council in the 80s, and one of our featured speakers at this year's Values Voter Summit. Colonel, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's great to be back with you, Tony. Every time you say that about the general, I go, yes, he deserves this. So if we can get a picture of the three of us on stage, either one of us providing flank security for the general, we ought to do that while we're all
well,
together.
Well, he needs it. He needs it, but he's both of you, great Americans, and just honored to be associated with both of you. You're going to be there. Of course, you've been to the Values Voter Summit many times, but you're actually in a new role as you come to this year's Values Voter Summit. You're also now the president of the National Rifle Association.
Yes, indeed. And we're having the time of our life. I will tell you that we're over 5 million members. We are now looking to double that before the 2020 election for all the right reasons, all the right reasons for Values Voters Summit voters. And I love being there with you guys. You're on the right course on every issue, to include the Second Amendment, which is what the NRA is there to support. And what we want to make sure everybody does is gets a chance to turn into NRA TV and see some of the great shows that we're putting on. And, of course, you can get them anytime you want. The nice thing about downloading and streaming television is you go up on the internet, go to nratv.com and watch to your heart's content and get a good sense for the kinds of issues that you guys have done so well in promoting as the values of the American people, despite the left-wing crazies that want to basically sow hate. I mean, what's just happened to Judge Kavanaugh is reminiscent, of course, what happened to Judge Bork.
Right.
It's the kind of thing that is just despicable when you see it. This last minute effort to sidetrack or actually eliminate, that's what they really want to do, is they want to eliminate Judge Kavanaugh from joining the bench and being up there with some, thank the Lord this president is in office, because you think what you might have somebody else was there.
Yeah, without question, his judicial picks have been stellar. In fact, we're gonna dive into that issue tomorrow. Today, by the way, is the Constitution Day. We've been focusing on the Constitution on Tuesdays since the nomination, just to kind of educate the public. But today is Constitution Day, and that's
yes.
something to celebrate, the fact that we have one of the longest standing constitutions in the world, and it is the agreement by which the citizens agree with their government to be governed. And I want to go back to this NRA TV, because both the general and I have been on NRA TV, and I think it's time. And I'm excited to see NRA doing this, because it's not just Second Amendment issues. You're dealing with a whole host of issues. But I think it's important because we're seeing more and more in the media track left, and there needs to be a trusted source where people can find out what's really happening.
Well, and on top of that, young people in general, we're talking this so-called key demographic of 18 to 34, they're not watching Fox News. They're not watching any news. In fact, they choose what they want to watch, and then they download it and watch it when they want it.
Right.
And so the great thing about this is we're out there light years ahead of most of the others on making this kind of, if you will, media available to the young people of America. It, you know, your organization, Freedom Alliance, the NRA, all have generous donors, but they're aging. And what we've got to be about is getting a laser beam into the younger population in this country to convince them that we're worth supporting, even though
right.
most of us, like you, me, and the general, and our leadership of the NRA have gray in their temples. What we want to do is convince young people that the values that you're talking about, that we'll talk about again at the summit on the weekend, all of those kinds of things are important to their future. My way of putting it, Tony, is to say, we have skin in the game. I have 17 grandkids, Betsy and I, and I want to make sure that the country that they grow up in has the same kinds of opportunities that you and I had when we were growing up as a young Marine in both of our cases, as young parents. And the kinds of things that are happening today, when you look at the folks in the oligarchy, and that's what it is, with this guy Soros and Bloomberg and Steyer and their lapdog governor up in New York trying to put the NRA out of business. I mean, they've launched efforts to literally eliminate the NRA. In fact, Governor Cuomo up in New York has said that's his goal. He's also the one who said America has never been so great either. But, you know, even though that's a stupid thing to say, he's got the power to do it by pulling the levers of power in New York State. They can do serious damage. That's what their intention is. And they want to eliminate the NRA. So what we're trying to do is make sure that people understand the NRA is a civil rights organization, has been since 1871. We also teach marksmanship, safe handling of firearms. We teach law enforcement all across America. But our principal job right now is to protect the Second Amendment so it's still there, because if the Second Amendment goes, the rest of them will go with it. And that's what the oligarchs really intend to do. So your ideas of religious liberty, our First Amendment, we use that First Amendment to educate the American people as to what's going on. The far left is saying, oh, no, we don't have a First Amendment right to go out there and tell people about the Second Amendment. What's happening is wrong, and we aim to stop it and make things better for all of us conservative organizations.
You know, in talking about the young people, Colonel North, it's the education, for one, because the fundamentals of our republic are not taught any longer in our schools. In fact, many of those graduating from the Ivy League schools have no clue as to what makes America work in terms of the workings of our republic. So I think part of this, the reason maybe the younger people aren't interested is they don't know the truth. So part of that is the education, bringing them along and helping them kind of fill in the blanks as to, you know, the fact that the left can attack the Second Amendment and the First Amendment because they have so much money to do so, in part is because they've been successful in this country that preserves and protects freedom.
Yep. Well, freedom is what it's all about. And you mentioned that it's Constitution Day today, and it is the anniversary of our Constitution. You think about this. That Constitution begins with the words, three of them, as to who's supposed to govern America. We, the people. You and I and the general all took an oath to support and defend that Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic, to bear true faith and allegiance to same, and at the end of that oath, that you and I and the general took, and everybody who's listening to us right now who served in the military, every law officer takes that kind of oath.
Right.
Those words, God. And if the left has its way, we won't be able to say those words anymore because they're offensive to some. That's the kind of thing we need to educate young people about. Is that important? Is it important that football players stand on the sideline, put their helmets under their arms, and put their hand over their heart when the flag passes or we sing the national anthem? Those are the kinds of things that go into the makeup of a better America, and a greater America, if one wants to put it that way, that respects the rights of folks like you and me to worship as we want, to come and go as we please, to speak as we wish. All of those things are jeopardized if the Second Amendment goes. And they've made it very clear. They want to repeal the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
Given that, Colonel North, they've said that, they want to do that, how important are these midterm elections when we look at these fundamental freedoms, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment?
Well, look at the candidates that are running on the far left, and they're being financed by those three characters I just mentioned a moment ago, by Bloomberg, by Soros, by Steyer, massive amounts of money being thrown into it. The idea that they have is if we can get enough of them elected to the U.S. House, the next thing, you and I have known each other a long time. I do not have the gift of prophecy, but I will tell you, I'm absolutely certain that if they get the majority in the U.S. House by a sufficient number of new elected officials or re-elects for those that are there, that are on the left, they will introduce a resolution of impeachment for the President of the United States. At that point, all stuff stops in Washington. We've seen it before. When Bill Clinton was impeached, everything stopped. It sucks all the air out of the room. It becomes the focus of every day. The headlines every day above the fold are going to be all about that. And what happens is our foreign policy suffers, our national security suffers, and you end up with people passing laws and making new regulations that otherwise never would have happened. So this election is, I'm telling our NRA members, this election is the most important election of my lifetime. And I was born when Harry Truman was, I'd be younger. I was born when Franklin Roosevelt was president of the United States. This is the most important election of our lives.
It is, without question. I agree 100%. Colonel Ali North, thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you this coming weekend at the Values Voter Summit.
It's going to be great fun. Semper Fi, brother.
Semper Fi. And I'll make sure the general's ready. All right. Look, the point that he made about this being the most important election, you know, we hear that with each coming election. This is the most important election. Well, you know, when we are such a divided nation and those that want to take the nation down, the Republic hangs in the balance with every election. So this is the most important election. In fact, this is the most important, and the next one will be even more important. That's why we can never take our hands off. You can't take a break. Our republic demands your participation, your awareness. You need to be an informed voter. And if you're listening to Washington Watch, you are. Okay, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to be joined by another guest who's going to be at the Values Voter Summit, Jason Benham. The Benham brothers will be there this weekend. So stay tuned. Don't go away. More to come on this Monday afternoon here on Washington Watch.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. And let me encourage you to continue to be praying for the folks that are in the pathway of Florence and the remnants of that and the flooding that's going to continue for days. In fact, coming up later in the program, we'll get an update from Samaritan's Purse on how you can be a part of helping. You know, the body of Christ needs to reach out in these moments of difficulty and challenge. And you know, they're becoming more frequent and with greater intensity. All right, coming up this week, as we talked about, the Values Voters Summit. Great lineup. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. But one of the things we're going to be focusing upon is religious freedom, both domestic and internationally. The two are connected. You'll get that. Of course, we'll be getting an update on what's been happening in the last 2 years and what's at stake in the midterm elections. There'll be tools for you to take home to help you in preserving this republic. Well, a couple of the speakers we have are no strangers to the Values Voter Summit. Back again with us this year will be the Benham Brothers. Entrepreneurs, authors, they played minor league baseball. They own a very successful real estate company. Had a program, a reality TV show, until it became known that they were serious about their faith and weren't going to compromise. HGTV pulled the plug. But what that did was open a whole new arena for them to speak to the culture. Joining us now is Jason Benham. Jason, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's good to be on, and I can't wait to see your bright, smiling face this weekend at the Values Voter Summit.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Is David going to let you get a word in edgewise?
Well, you know, typically we'll go about 15, 20 minutes, and I get 3 or 4 minutes in there, but I told him, let me have at least 8 or 9 this time.
Well, we're looking forward to having you guys there. In fact, you guys have a new book coming out this spring called Bold and Broken, Becoming the Bridge Between Heaven and Earth, and I suspect you're going to touch on some of the themes that are in that book this coming weekend.
We will, and, you know, it goes back to when our dad raised us, and a lot of people ask my dad, how did you raise these two boys so that they'd be vocal for their faith and those types of things? And our dad would always say, you know, I raised them as sheep among wolves. You know, we have a tendency to do that in the church today. We want to raise our kids as sheep among sheep. But when we get out among the wolves, like where you are, Tony, like where FRC is, where you're out there, what you recognize is as a sheep, as a follower of Christ, that you've got the lion of the tribe of Judah inside of you. And so that's why when push came to shove for my brother and I, by God's grace and his grace alone, we were able to stand because we knew what was at stake. And so God was faithful. And now here we are hanging out with you for the last however many years it's been. It's been great.
Well, you know, it's an interesting analogy, raising, you know, and it's true. We raise our kids to be sheep among sheep, but if we raise them to be sheep among wolves, you know, they kind of pay a little more attention to what's going on and they toughen up. And, you know, that's the environment we live in. These values that really are foundational to this country, but essential to building the kingdom, are values that are worth standing for and in the spirit realm fighting for, which sometimes manifests itself in saying no to the culture.
That's exactly right. And that's why our newest book, you know, it comes out in about 6 months or so, and we called it Bold and Broken, because what we're talking about are Christians standing in the gap. And when you stand in the gap, we become that indispensable link between heaven and earth, where we bring that divine connection between heaven and earth. But if we're going to stand in the gap, it's going to take a spirit of boldness to do it. But here's why we add in the element of brokenness, because boldness apart from brokenness makes a bully. You become a bully where you're just screaming and hollering at the other side, and you don't recognize, listen, the Holy Spirit can change this thing at the snap of a finger. But on the flip side, Tony, and this is what you and I talk about a lot, is brokenness apart from boldness makes you a bystander. So if you err on either side where you're bold without being broken, you become a bully. But if you're broken, you know, in your spirit of brokenness, and there's a lot of people in the church, you know, they'll cry out and say, God, you know, forgive us of our sins and these types of things. But if you don't have boldness coupled with that, you're going to become a bystander. And then these amazing religious liberties that we have that no other nation in the history of mankind has had liberty like we have. But those things are never more than a generation away, as Ronald Reagan said. And we've got to fight for these things, and we've got to stand boldly. But David and I want to encourage Christians. But when you stand boldly, remember, you are a broken, fallible human being, just like the people that you're talking to. Remember that. And remember that there's a disconnect between them and God, and you can become that vital connection, that bridge. Because when you're bold and you're broken, you become a bridge that connects heaven to earth. That's what we need today.
You know, I think Paul, that's what he was saying to the Ephesians over in chapter 4, where he says, speak the truth in love. You know, we're not speaking the truth to win an argument or to prevail, but rather to speak life to a culture. And we're speaking it out of redemptive heart because we want people to come to know that truth. Before we run out of time, I want to ask you a quick question. You know, we've been connected, I guess, about 5 years now. I lose track of time. But I know when you first, you and David kind of ran into this buzzsaw, you said you looked around in the church and it was crickets. Are you encouraged now that there are more Christians that are coming alive to the issue of religious freedom and our need to speak truth?
Oh, my goodness. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is happening. There is a remnant. There is a Gideon remnant. You know Gideon. He was the guy that was scared to fight. He didn't want to go out there and do it. He was a reluctant leader, but yet he stood. And you know, those are the best leaders, Tony, the reluctant ones. I think that's a part of your story and why God has really anointed you to be one of the rallying cries who is crying out like one in the wilderness. And you and General Boykin and the FRC are so incredible at help rallying pastors to stand up and to know that all they have to do is open the Word of God and speak the truth. And you know what? You've got an army behind you that's saying, keep speaking it, keep doing it in love. And I'm excited to see it happening. It's great to be a part of it.
I am too. I am very encouraged by what I see. Jason, looking forward to seeing you and David this coming weekend at the Values Voter Summit.
Likewise, brother. We'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. Stay out of trouble. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, more on religious liberty, but this time internationally. Former Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia joins us. He's the recipient of this year's Leadership Award. He joins me to talk about what's happening in Nigeria. Don't go away. Back after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. Still to come, we're going to get an update from Samaritan's Purse on the relief efforts in the Carolinas Florence just unleashing a torrent of water and wind there. But continuing our conversation about the issue of religious freedom and, of course, the Values Voter Summit. In some parts of Nigeria, it looks like a war zone. You know, we had Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brambeck, on about a month ago after he came back. But you have these Fulani militants attacking Christians. Life for Christians in the north of part of Nigeria is tough. In 12 states, daily life is governed by Sharia law. In these states, Christians are an unwanted minority. Now, the violence and the persecution has become so severe that some are calling for a special envoy to deal with the issues in Nigeria. And with us now is former Congressman Frank Wolf. He represented the 10th Congressional District of Virginia and has been a leading voice on human rights during his time in Congress, and now a distinguished fellow at the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative and the recipient of this year's Leadership Award at the Values Voter Summit. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to be with you.
You have been speaking out about the events in Nigeria, that actions need to be taken before we see another case of really genocide taking place in that country, much like Dufar and what happened there.
It is so bad, and yet for some reason, the media in the West is not covering it. Keep in mind, Nigeria is the largest country in Africa, 195 million people. Secondly, thousands of Nigerians and people from Chad and Central African Republic are now facing famine or crossing the Mediterranean, are drowning. You have about 10,000 to 15,000 Nigerian girls and women in Italy that are being sexually trafficked. And Bono, you know, with the Irish rock singer, said a while back that it is an existential threat to Europe and, frankly, many other countries, because you're going to find millions pouring out of it. You have had 21,000 Christians and some Muslim, but mainly Christian killed, Some think the figure's over 30,000, but I think it's good to keep it low because you don't want to exaggerate. You've had 900 churches burned. You're exactly right. It's the Fulani militants, in addition to Boko Haram. They are two of the top terrorist groups in the world, And if you recall, 4 years ago, April, when 260-some Chibok Christian girls were kidnapped, presidents, prime ministers did hashtag bring back our girls. Well, about half of them have not come back. And this past April, you didn't see anybody do hashtag bring back our girls. And when I was there, I spoke to a counselor who said he counsels the parents. And he tells them, one, if America doesn't get involved to help out here, and secondly, you're going to find that your daughter may never come back. Secondly, she probably has a child now or is pregnant. And lastly, she will have been forced to convert to Islam. And so it's falling apart. And yet, for some reason, the Western media, the Washington Post, New York Times, they're just not covering the story.
Now, you have called upon President Trump to appoint a special envoy to Nigeria, in part because you see the trends here. You see where this is heading if we don't get ahead of it.
Well, it's heading so badly. I think our policy for Nigeria and the Lake Chad region, the country surrounding it, has really been a failure for the last 10 years. And President Bush, you may remember, appointed former Senator John Danforth to be a special envoy for the Sudan issue, Southern Sudan. He brought together all the different areas of our government. He was somebody who could talk directly to the Secretary of State. He could talk directly to President Bush. If you recall, he was announced in the Rose Garden the day before 9/11. But I remember it. You had Danforth in the middle with President Bush on one side, Secretary Powell on the other side, saying, we're going to deal with this issue. They dealt with it. You need to bring our intel people. You need to bring in people like Ambassador Brownback, who's done a great job, the State Department. You need to bring in our DOD people to help train the Nigerian military. We don't want to put any forces on the ground, but to train them with regard to respect for human rights. You have to bring in the World Food Program. You have to give almost 2.5 million people facing famine. You have internally displaced people. You have corruption. So it just can't have one little facet of our government. You have to somebody can bring in every agency, every department, intel, DOD, human rights, religious freedom, hunger, famine, refugees, and deal with this issue. And somebody, lastly, who can pick up the phone and call the president or call the vice president or call the secretary of state to deal with the issue. But if we don't do that, don't forget, I don't want to predict it, but many of your listeners may forget in Biafra. You remember Biafra was in the 50s. In Biafra, there were almost 500,000 to a million people killed in Nigeria. And I think you got to deal with this thing quickly or else this thing is unraveling day by day.
Congressman Frank Wolf, we're out of time. Got to leave it there. But we are looking forward to seeing you this coming week at the Values Voter Summit.
Me too, Tony. Thanks for the great work you and FRC did. I deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your leadership. Congressman Frank Wolf, the recipient of this year's Leadership Award of the Family Research Council at our gala this coming Saturday night because of what you just heard. He has been on this issue of international religious freedom and human rights from day one. In fact, the International Religious Freedom Act, which also created the International Commission on International Religious Freedom, which I'm a part of, was Frank Wolf that drove that. All right, don't go away. We're going to come back. We're going to get an update on Hurricane Florence and the effects in the Carolinas. And then we're going to be talking about the movie Gosnell, which will be at the Values Voter Summit. Don't go away. Back after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices, who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon as we were talking earlier. So important to be praying for the folks in the path of Hurricane Florence or the remnants of that. It's still a dangerous storm, dumping excessive rainfall on wide areas of North Carolina, South Carolina, and beyond, causing historic flooding, something we're familiar with in recent years. Louisiana, last year, record flooding in Texas. The need is beyond what government can do, and one of the encouraging things, as we were talking last week about this, is that the partnership that we're seeing with government and nonprofit ministries, and none are more effective and more committed than Samaritan's Purse. I've worked alongside them, watched the great work that they do, and they're on the ground there. Of course, it's their home state, North Carolina, but they're on the ground. Joining us now is Luther Harrison. He's Vice President of North American Ministries for Samaritan's Purse. Luther, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, and I don't know of anyone I'd rather speak to about flooding than after seeing you and your church work in East Baton Rouge, and you roll up your sleeves and reach out to the people. So your quote is exactly right. The church has a responsibility to get out and get busy.
And you come alongside, you work with the local church. We had Franklin on last week talking about this. What's it look like right now? I mean, I know you've got a good framework to look at this. What's it looking like in North Carolina right now?
Well, right now we are seeing significant flooding. There is a lot of tree damage from the wind on the coastal area, and as you were alluding to, the rivers will, some of them won't crest until Wednesday or Thursday even. So from the mountains all the way down to the coast, there's been significant rainfall, and all this water on the mountains is going to run right back down to the coast as well. So these folks, just a lot of them have just been recovering from Hurricane Matthew that hit not too long ago. So a lot of those same homes have flooded. And Samaritan's Purse, We were able to get our tools and equipment in on the ground. We are set up right now and even had volunteers out ministering to families yesterday in New Bern, North Carolina. A lot of people have seen that on the news. And we're also set up in Jacksonville, down near Camp Lejeune area. So we have volunteers able to get in and work there. And our truck is working its way in today, hopefully into the Wilmington area. We've already identified a church that we will be set up at and receiving volunteers. You know, Samaritans First, we have some good tools and equipment, but our most valuable resource, Tony, is the volunteer that goes out and is willing to get in the muck and the mire or cut a tree or get on top of a roof and patch a hole that a tree caused or shingles that had blown off. And just we're going to be the hands and feet of Christ and go out and show these folks that God loves them and has not forgotten them.
So, Luther, how can folks volunteer? You're taking them right now. You're taking volunteers right now to help. Also, financial resources can be made to help with this historic flood. What can people do?
Well, people that are willing to come out as a volunteer and give us their time and talent and sweat equity, as we call it, just go to SamaritansPurse.org. And there's the volunteer button at the top of our website, and it will take them through the sign-up process. Again, over the weekend, we had 1,500 people sign up saying, here am I, send me. So we want to get these folks out there and really let them help these families that were impacted by these storms get back on their feet.
And folks, I'm just going to tell you, I've seen it multiple times over, working very closely, as Luther said, at our home church in Greenville Springs when I was serving as a pastor. They are very efficient and effective, making sure none of your time is wasted. They've got trained team leaders that will show you exactly what to do. They provide the food for you, a place to stay. You just need to come and minister, and it's powerful, it's helpful, it encourages. And as you're making reference from Hurricane Matthew, some of these areas you were just finished up because you were doing rebuilds of some of those homes in that area.
And it is. And, you know, the folks, I give them credit on the coast. They're tough, they're resilient, and they're going to bounce back. But, you know, this is the role. We thank the Lord for FEMA and the government that goes out and provides help. But, you know, I consider it's the church's responsibility to go out and meet their neighbor and help their neighbor along this journey. And as you shared, the media, Tony, thank you for getting the message out. But we're still in East Baton Rouge building homes from that 2016 flood. And we need volunteers. So you go to our website, you can volunteer to go to East Baton Rouge, to North Carolina. We're up in Wisconsin on floods right now. So we've seen a lot of storms this year. But we just want to continue to go out and show these folks that we're here to help and just meet their need on this physical storm. But hopefully they see the churches we partner with are there on the long-term basis to meet their other storms they face in life.
Yeah, because this is a long process. I mean, people don't realize, you know, long after the media is gone, people are continuing to. I mean, we're over two years removed from the historic floods in Louisiana, and people are still out of their homes, still in the process of rebuilding. As you said, Samaritan's Purse still on the ground. But Luther, you and I have talked about this. I think this is the role of the church. I mean, this is the New Testament church, reaching out first to those, partnering with the church, helping believers and the work and those beyond the church, ministering to those needs that the government will never be able to touch. As you work alongside the chaplains who share the gospel message, a message of hope and comfort at a time of great stress and distress, I should say.
That's right. And I think if people would have came into your church, Greenwell Springs, back in the flood, they would have thought they were in Sam's Club or Costco instead of a church, as you were doing distribution of goods to the people in the neighborhood.
Well, Luther, we appreciate you, and we're certainly going to continue to encourage people to visit the website, volunteer, and also I know that just the amount of storms that have hit our country in the last couple of years and the severity of them, it is straining resources. And my family and I, which are annual supporters of Samaritan's Purse because of the good work that is done, we're giving more right now to help in this effort because I think it is so critical for the church to be there. And I thank you, Luther, and all the team at Samaritan's Purse for the outstanding work that you do.
Well, Tony, thank you for trusting us with your gift, and we want to use that to help people along the path.
And I know you will. Luther, we'll be checking in again later this week because we want to keep our listeners updated on what's happening there in North Carolina.
We'll be happy to help you there any way we can, sir.
All right. Thanks so much. Luther Harrison with Samaritan's Purse. To find out more how you can be involved, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, or SamaritansPurse.org. I cannot emphasize enough, they are a solid ministry, ministering the through the love of Jesus to the needs of people when they are the greatest. And they use the resources wisely. I can just tell you, I've seen them up close. And as I said, there's a handful of ministries that our family personally gives to every year. We save up our money, and at the end of the year, we choose those ministries that we're going to give to, and Samaritan's Purse is always on the list. But given the this situation, we're going to be given even more now, and I would encourage you to do the same. So go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over, or to SamaritansPurse.org. All right, as I mentioned, coming up this weekend, the Values Voter Summit, there's going to be a screening of a movie coming out next month. Now, this has been in the works for a while and controversial because it pulls back the curtain. Gosnell, the trial of America's biggest serial killer. It opens up next month. It is an American film about Kermit Gosnell, an abortion doctor who killed hundreds of infants born alive during abortion procedures, and actually was convicted of 3 counts of murder. The movie stars Dean Cain of Lois and Clark fame as the detective who pursues Gosnell, and Earl Billings as the abortionist. Now, as I said, there's a free screening, so this is a part of, it's one of the things you get to participate in if you're a Values Voter Summit attendee. Well, with us now is John Sullivan. He's the executive producer of the film. And Zoe Rachel, he's an actor, speaker, and musician, and also host of the Zoloff Show. He portrays abortionist Kermit Gosnell in the film. Gentlemen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, right, thanks for having us on.
Well, looking forward to having you at the Values Voters Summit, and I want you to kind of lay out the movie here, and I'll start with you, John, and then you can pitch it to Zoe as to the message of this movie. What are people going to see?
Well, Tony, I think what they're going to see is the truth, which the media did not tell. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, the movie comes out, just follows the storyline as it happened. The investigation started a drug investigation on Kermit Gosnell, and once the detectives moved into the clinic, they just found a house of horrors there, and we just kind of followed that all the way through the trial. And I think what you're going to see, too, is abortion explained on screen like it's never been done. Now, I want to be very clear. The movie's not graphic, even though the subject matter's, you know, pretty dark, but in this sense, we tried really hard not to make this movie graphic at all. So my teenage daughters have watched it. Friends from their youth group have, too. But it's a very important movie to watch if you care about the life issue.
And Zoe, what drew you to take this role in the movie?
You know, I, as you mentioned before, I had my commentaries. And the commentaries I did with PJTV was Zonation. And I had done a commentary on Gosnell. And Nick Searcy saw, you know, he's familiar with some of my work and embedded me with that and considered to have me play a role in the film. Just to clarify, I don't actually play Gosnell. My character is not an actual person, but, you know, just to add some flavor, to add some spice, they created a character, Detective Stark, and they cast me for the role. So that's how I ended up coming into the film.
Now, there's been some opposition, has there not, gentlemen, to this movie coming out? I mean, this is not a movie that Hollywood would really prefer be out there.
Correct, yeah. We had a situation where we had a distributor signed on for the film, and then they backed out because there were some issues with the book. The judge from the case sued the book, specifically the authors of the book and the publisher. But the movie was never in jeopardy of being sued, but the distributor found this a convenient way to kind of get out from not putting the movie out there.
Now, Zoe, let me ask you this. What was the most shocking thing that you learned? Now, I know you were on top of this, you were watching, but was there anything that just that was shocking to you in this process?
Well, I'm not shocked by it because I understand what this leads to. You know, the bottom line is a person can assume that they're going to have the cleanest abortion facility and it's going to be regulated to the most pristine level. Doesn't matter. That baby's still going to get slaughtered. So none of this shocks me. And for what Gosnell did, this is what this leads to. I mean, this guy's a real bully. I mean, you're talking about taking a baby and holding it face down and stabbing it in the back of the head. Now, we're not going to show that in the movie, but the implication is there. And if a person doesn't register that, it's like you don't see what this really leads to, what this selfishness leads to, then, you know, all I can do is pray for you and let the Lord do the rest.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think what this does, it pulls back the curtain on the abortion industry as a whole. And in this process, John, is, you know, they seeking the funding for the movie had Kickstarter was used in the initial attempts. But there was some challenges there. Explain to our listeners how there were efforts to basically try to stop this movie from ever going forward.
Yeah, what happened with that was initially went out to Kickstarter to crowdfund the movie to get people, if they wanted to give to the movie to make sure it happened, they could do it. Now, eventually it was successful, but the initial attempt on Kickstarter did not work. Kickstarter kicked off the film because they said it violated their community standards because of talking about abortion and murder and babies. Now, again, as Zoe was pointing out, you know, this just shows the callousness to people of what's going on, that they don't care about this issue in any way, shape, or form. Now, eventually, we were successful in raising the money on another platform called Indiegogo, and 30,000 people gave over $2 million to make sure that this film was made. And the film comes out on October 12th in theaters, and we have that special screening of Valued Voters, which we're very excited to have Dean there. Zoe will be there, and I'll be there myself.
Now, how can folks find out where this will be in theaters coming up next month? Is there a website they can go to see where this will be screened, where this will be shown?
Yeah, they can go to Gosnell, G-O-S-N-E-L-L, movie.com. Again, that's gosnellmovie.com, and we have theater information up on the webpage.
Yeah, and I do think, and I appreciate the fact, as you made it clear, and I want to point out again, reemphasize, that this is rated PG-13, despite the horrific subject matter. It could easily have been R-rated. But you want to get the message out. You want not only telling the story, but also what is behind this. And so I think that's why you've preserved that rating. So teenagers, parents being there, they can watch it. It's informative. I have to think that the abortion industry is not going to be too happy about this film.
No, I don't think they will at all, you know, in this situation, because it reveals, as Zoe said earlier, that, you know, this reveals the true nature of what's going on. You know, there can be arguments about how clean Gosnell's facility should have been or this, but it you know, misses the underlying principle of what's going on here and the taking of a life. And particularly in this situation where these children were viable, they were born alive, they could have been put in a NICU, they could have been adopted. There's all kinds of alternatives that could have happened for these kids, and they weren't. Their lives were snuffed out by Kermit Gosnell.
Zoe, John, look forward to seeing you this coming weekend at the Values Voters Summit and seeing the screening for the first time. I've not seen it. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie Gosnell.
Great. Thank you, Tony.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. And folks, if you're at the Values Voters Summit this weekend, you'll be able to see it. I believe it's going to be Friday night at the summit, free screening. Getting the word out so that you can go back and encourage your friends to see this movie when it comes out in October. This, by the way, this case of Kermit Gosnell was what really sparked across the country the pain-capable bills that passed in state legislatures. This was a significant event. I think this movie telling the story is only going to add to the momentum of pushing America toward being a pro-life nation again. All right, folks, out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.